Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, real Discover low. The ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This is my owl. There are many like it, but this one reveals faults. What the? This is cool. No shape-shifting.
Wait.
I am not into that.
Who's he talking? Who's she talking to? Who's Toronto talking to?
You asked this the first time. It's
Malfurion. I know.
Oh, it's Malfurion.
He's telling, okay. Malfurion is he's ready for sexy time.
Yeah, was that like pillow talk? It was like a pillow talk.
He's got an idea. He's thinking, you know, we could have sex as elves, but maybe I could shapeshift into a bear and it'd be really fun.
Oh,
and
my
Toronto's like, no shapeshifting.
Can we do it on my lawn that I make? Taronda.
I mean, if that's you think about it, like druids, if two druids were married, it'd be.
No, you know, it's not right.
Crazy town. It's two fantasy druids, not like actual druids because they really existed. And we mean the ones that change shape.
Yeah, you don't. What you don't want is the boomkin form for those new the Zandalari trolls, dude. Oof.
It's a boomkin and an eagle. He just hears a weird sound in the bush. He's like, what is that? Oh, it's two druid shapeshifters.
He looks like they look like. They look like pterodactyls that also are ugly. Ugly pterodactyls. That's what I meant to say. They're very, very bad. But that's fine. If we ever get a Zandalari troll in Heroes of the Storm, I'd be happy. That'd be all right. Hey, what's this show we're doing? Everybody, it's Core. It's the Heroes of the Storm podcast with me, Scott Johnson, Bo Schwartz, and John Jagger. That's what it is. And I got a little head-scratcher question to start us off today. And by the way, can everyone just keep their emails just calmed down a little bit about all the talk we've had back and forth about the health of the game? It's part of our discussion once in a while, but we got tons of feedback this week going, I would really appreciate it if you didn't talk about my favorite game so negatively. It's not like we're being negative. We just think it's an important topic to talk about once in a while. That's all. That's all. All right. Anyway, back to the point. Here's your head scratcher. All right. A fan of the show asked me during the week, between last Wednesday and now, said this question. He says, what map would stay if the rest had to go? In other words, if Blizzard came out tomorrow and says, yo, you can only have one, so community vote on the map you're going to keep, and everything else goes out the door. So I so much don't want to talk about the ones we would get rid of as much as with the one with, that we would stay with. So we're probably never going to be faced with this real question, but I think it's interesting. It may just turn out to be the answer to this, to another question, which is what's your favorite map? I don't know. But I have a feeling that the idea of it being the only one you're ever going to get ever might change our answer versus what it would be if you just said what's your favorite. Like my favorite right now and has been for a while is the one John likes, Towers of Doom. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's the only map I ever want. Do you know what I mean? Like I, if we've only got one, if we're doing it like the other MOBAs do, where it's just a single map, what do you pick? Bo, you start. Which map do you say, do you point out in the lineup and the rest of them head into the gas chamber?
It's Curse Hollow all the way.
Really?
Cursed Hollow.
Wow. All right. I didn't expect that
because
one from you.
To me, it feels like the map that's the most templated from Summoner's Rift.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said about the space in it and the...
The jungling potential? Do you like that?
The flexibility. If we were to go to one map, I'd expect some changes.
Mm-hmm.
So this feels like the most universal map and that things can be done with. I don't know. I've always liked that map the best. I just think it's got a lot of good space in it. Mm. And all the real estate, for the most part, I feel gets used on that map. You know, we're like two-lane maps. It's like usually people are hard pushing a lane, and then with the objective, it's steamrolling it.
Yeah,
like a lot of the activity takes place essentially in the lanes. I mean, Volskaya might be second, but I think the mechanic is a little uninteresting for the only map because it's always ABC in the same order, and it's fine for Volskaya in the heroes we know. But if that was to be my only map, I'd say no.
Yeah,
I'd say keep Cursed Hollow and increase the change up the boss mechanics and the tribute mechanics a little bit just to make it a little more random or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, you got your map.
All right, John, what do you think? Are you sticking with Towers of Doom despite the fact that it's the only one you're ever going to see again?
I mean, I think Bo is pretty spot on with what he's saying about Cursed Hollow. It's not my favorite map. It's actually probably pretty low on my list, but there is something to be said about that map where I don't feel like that map comes up and everybody goes, all right, get out your Cursed Hollow picks. Like, it just kind of becomes a, okay, well, let's play a solid game. Let's draft against the enemy team. Let's get in there and let's play the best we can. Like, that kind of tends to become the strategy. And I think that's a testament to that map being kind of strong regardless. But that said, I'm going to go with Towers of Doom because that's the one map where if you said, hey, we're not getting any variety anymore, that's the one where I'd be like, all right, if I'm playing this one, I'm happy. Those games just always feel so good to me.
Yeah.
Even when we lose, I have a tendency to feel like, oh man, we could have won that one. It was so close or things like that. And yeah. I don't know. There's just something very neat about that map. I might get sick of it if it was the only one, but
sure.
Right now it's always a joy.
Like I say, we're never probably going to run into this. My answer is probably Cursed Hollow for similar reasons as Bo. I would hope that we could skin it or something. And I don't mean that it's bad the way it is now, but we're spoiled now. Like the game has spoiled us with this kind of variety. So to even suggest the idea, and I think it's a great question, by the way, the person who asked me this question, I wish I had their name here and I don't, but it's a great question, but I think thankfully we'll never be faced with that because one of the great things about Heroes of the Storm that separates itself from other MOBAs is the variety in the battlegrounds. So all that being said, if there was one I had to take, probably Cursed Hollow, and then part of me would be like, and then could they just, you know, spruce it up to have different skins or let me buy skins for it or something to just kind of shake things up once in a while, because, you know, as much as I love that dude, the Raven Lord, he's great and all. I want to listen to him every day, you know, saying stuff. I need more than that. And I guess we have voice packs for that. But anyway, bottom line is if you like spooky crows and shit, I think that's probably going to win the vote here.
Apparently that's their theme too, because so far we've named two maps and both of them spooky ravens, dark type theme. I've been trying to think about other ones just to get a little variety and think about it.
Yeah.
And Tomb of the Spider Queen wouldn't be a bad one. That's another one. And I know that's a bit more specialized, but that's another map that every time it comes up, I'm just like, all right, this feels different and new and exciting. And I don't know why I like that one so much, but I'm a big fan still of Tomb of the Spider
Queen. If I could have, okay, so now let me expand. If I could have four maps and that's all I could ever have again, okay? Okay. I've expanded the question, obviously, and this is a little bit of a cheat. It would be Cursed Hollow. It'd be the ones we've said. Cursed Hollow, Volskaya, Towers of Doom, and probably Spider Queen. Is that four?
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is I think they all... Battlefield for Eternity is pretty good here and there, but of everything we've talked about, they all seem to contain the scenarios that I've found the most fun in the game. And so I would really jive on those four if that's all we had. Now I'm glad that we don't. It's cool to have different things and that's great. But if they had to limit the number, all of those have great examples of cool gameplay that having many different maps can bring. Whereas everything else is, yeah, it's okay. Like Volskaya picks up kind of where Dragon Knight left off, you know, in a way. Does it in new ways. And I used to, when that map came out, I wasn't thrilled with it, but I like it now a lot. I like it when it shows up in the rotation.
I'm trying to think of what my four would be. It gets really tricky. I definitely Towers. I think Cursed Hollow for the reasons that we explained. It's a good, solid open map, even if it's not one of my favorites. Tomb of the Spider Queen I like, again, because there's different and there's a variety there. I would have a really hard time picking between Infernal Shrines and Battlefield of Eternity for probably the last spot for me.
Yeah.
Which it would probably go to one of those two.
Yeah. I will say this about Cursed Hollow, and Bo basically said this, but I think it just bears mentioning again that the reason that map is such a standout for so many people, and I'll bet that this is kind of the vote if we put it out there that we'd get generally speaking, it's because that game has got jungling, it's got objectives, it's got bosses, and there are two of them, and they're on each other side, and that's weird and different and creates a really interesting kind of metagame, and like all, you know, and is that a three lane or two lane? Three lane, right? Three lane map?
For Cursed Hollow?
Yeah. Why am I thinking two lanes? Why? What's wrong with me?
Haunted Mines.
Oh, probably Haunted Mines.
Haunted Mines is a very similar tile set.
That throws me off. Cursed Hollow. But anyways, it's got all that stuff. So whatever your style of play is, it feels like there's something there. There are moments where teams have to kind of jive and get to the freaking objective and work together, and there are other times where someone can kind of jungle and do things, and there's fun global moments, there's great up close moments. Like, I don't know, the map's pretty good at all that stuff. It's the second map I ever played. First was let's not forget about the gift old Blackheart's got for us, right? He's always there.
I like Blackheart's Bay. Yeah. I see, that's the thing, is I'm going through this and I'm thinking of all these maps. Honestly, I would be hard-pressed to find one I actually don't like at the moment. I've even come around on Garden of Terror, believe it or not.
Yeah.
As much as that map has not changed, and yet I've gotten to a place where I'm okay with it. I would say if you said, John, you have to take one map away, I think my vote would be... Oh, I can't believe I'm going to agree with Bo. Feels bad. It'd probably be Braxis.
Yeah.
Or
Garden of Terror, they've improved it, and then Braxis Holdout came out, and it's the boring as hell map.
Or the nuke one. I actually don't like the nuke one either.
I don't agree with you there, but to each his own.
I like the nuke one. I just don't like it. Like, as soon as I get in there,
I don't like it.
I love everything about its style, design, look, feel, music, concept, all that. I love it. It's my favorite of the StarCraft themed maps, thematically speaking, but actually playing it is hit and miss for me. I don't know. Just the nuke stuff is just, I don't know. I feel like you're dancing with idiots sometimes. That's all.
It feels messy in a way that some of the other maps don't. Yeah. And maybe there's something that people like about that, but I don't necessarily like it as much. But again, at this point, we're talking about, okay, I like all the maps. Which one would be at the bottom, though? So that's still not me trying to talk bad about it. It's just, if I had to pick a bottom, it might be there. It might actually be the Dragon Knight. I don't love Dragonshire as much as I used to.
Such a pissing match in there now, you know? I mean, they all kind of have a pissing match aspect to them, but that one feels like I'm, you know, we spend how much time on the first objective push? Like half the game? You're all hitting
sometimes
level 10.
It feels that way.
Yeah, you hit level 10 before anyone's got
tense.
A dragon.
There's this fun tenseness when the Dragon Knight hasn't been claimed in 9 minutes, and you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah, it is really weird. But it's, you know, whatever. But I hope that answers his question. And I'm sorry again for not having your name. We'll call him Larry. I don't know.
Okay.
Might be his name.
Larry.
Do I know this Larry?
No, it was somebody kind of with a rando name on Twitter or something. So it's not even a name we'd know.
Okay.
It's just a name.
It was Greg Street. I got you.
Yeah, it was Greg Street. Brian Holinka, thank you for your email. We appreciate it. He just had a birthday. Happy birthday, Brian. He listens to the show, so happy birthday, man.
That's crazy.
Well, he loves Heroes. He's a big...
I know he loves Transformers.
He loves Transformers. You're not kidding.
It's a man after my own heart.
Yeah. He's the good Transformers, like the old cartoon. That's what.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They got the new stuff.
Yeah, not this horse shit they call movies. let's get to what's going on this week. The fat.
Oh, by the
lamb.
Way, well,
yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. You started the Transformers train, or I did.
That's totally you did, but it's fine. It's totally fine.
They're rebooting the Transformers universe, by the way.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah. Well, I mean, all it took is for the sixth movie or whatever they're on to sort of not make as much money as the last bunch. It still made ass tons of money, but it wasn't this automatic record-breaking money.
It wasn't MCU money.
No, no. It was the first dip in the series, and so that was enough for Fox or whoever it is to go, put on the brakes. Let's rethink this thing. So what do you think of that? Do you think that's a good deal?
I'm hopeful, because you know, sometimes you end up being like apologist for movies you really like because of a predetermined reason.
Yep.
Like, you know, you may think Last Jedi was really good, but it wasn't as good as you think it is, just because you like Star Wars a lot. And that was me with the first Transformers movie. I was like, it's the best thing ever. But like, years have gone by and I'm like, yeah, it's a turd.
You mean the 07 one? The first Michael
Bay
one?
Yeah, the first one. Like, the spirit was there, and it's like, I dreamed for decades of seeing like live action Transformers transform and fly into the air. But, and like the CGI was like, it was what it was. It was pretty good, but the movie was so bad.
Yeah. They just had all they have to do. Another huge fan of Blizzard, or is not there anymore, but Chris Metzen was a like diehard Transformers fan, to the point that he actually got a side gig to write a whole series of comics, worked with an artist for IDW Comics, and made a whole comic series about Transformers.
Devastation, right?
Yeah, and it was great. Yeah. It was really good.
It was good. I liked it.
It was in the spirit of the original Transformers, which is kind of where his heart was as well. And we've talked about this at length before. The bottom line is, those movies need to get back to what those movies should be about, which is robots fighting shit and working together, not humans running around going, oh, I can't believe there's big robots everywhere. Like, F that.
It's a really bad impression of that. What's that guy kid's name?
LaBeouf.
I want to say Francis McDormand, but that's not it.
No.
LaBeouf. Yeah, I'm an actor.
Wow. That was good. Yeah. This is like Saturdays. We just had an encounter with it.
No. I was like, wait, I don't have my dice ready. Hold on.
But the reason someone at home right now is listening to this going, guys, really? Transformers? You're talking about this for all this time? Let me just say something. This now helps you understand why, when they dropped that little anime trailer for those skins, for the mecha skins, why Bo lost his cheese. Like, you lost your mind in a good way. Yeah. And more of that, please. That'd be great, Blizzard.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's get rid of the Lunar New Year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get rid of that, and let's do Cybertronian New Year and have new robots in disguise every year.
All right.
Thanks.
I'm in. Bo lost his mind cheese. That's right, Daniel Day-Newman. That's exactly what I said. Doesn't make any sense.
I'm in with it.
Yeah. Don't think too hard about it. All right. We got some interesting stuff here. The BlizzFat article. All right. Someone tell me about this. What's going on with this?
I think his name is MilkFat, actually.
Is it MilkFat? Why did we call
him BlizzFat?
Just
call him BlizzFat. I wrote him BlizzFat. don't eat too much of me, you get heart disease.
That's right. The new Hearthstone expansion covered out. Better not buy the whole thing.
Anyway, I bought that, by the way. I'm such an idiot. I don't even play Hearthstone, really.
I don't think that's a bad investment.
It's a good investment. Dude, it's 20 extra packs for nothing compared to what it usually is, right? Like, the price is good, except the only bummer is I have been playing more Hearthstone. I've also been playing Eternal and all these other card games for I don't know what reason, because I'm not good at them, but I play them. And Eternal's kind of cool because it's like Magic and Hearthstone did it in the back of a car and had a baby. That's kind of what it's like. It's weird. It's a little dirty. Anyway, the point is, what was my point? I don't know what my point was. Oh,
point is that you,
you just wanted to talk about card games.
Yeah, I did just for a second. Yeah. Oh, I know what it was. I wanted to at least address this. This is totally off the wagon here a little bit, but in the world of MOBAs, World of Warcraft, or Heroes of the Storm being one of them, I'm not used to seeing things come. Like in Blizzard's case, it's like, oh, here are all our other games and IPs, and we're bringing them to bear on this new game here that is a MOBA game. Whereas, in Riot's case, League is League. That's the thing. And Dota 2 for Valve is their MOBA. And it doesn't draw from anything except for the original inspirations that all came from Warcraft 3. And now Valve's putting out, really since Portal 2, wasn't that their last game? Which is insane if you think about that for a second.
How not counting Dota.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Dota 2 is their last game.
I guess that's true. Which came first, Dota 2 or Portal? Hold on.
Portal.
Depends how much you count, I guess, beta or whatever. It probably was in development during the release of Portal.
Okay,
yeah, Portal. I think probably actual release date, Dota 2, but maybe you're right if you're counting alpha and beta and all that. Maybe it was around before Portal 2, but...
Yeah, you're right. The actual outside of beta full release was 2013, July of 2013 for Dota 2, and for Portal 2 it was 2011. But a game that isn't Dota... It's been since 2011 for them, because they just spend all day printing money in their money printer called Steam, and that's great. And oh, did we lose John? And
I heard. I think you said Manuel.
Yeah, you went. Oh, is he back, John? Are you there?
Back.
Okay.
I must have moved too much and shocked my microphone out of existence.
Are you an Autobot or a Decepticon? You're not displaying your sigil very clearly.
I don't know.
He's a GoBot. He's one of those toasters.
GoBots are the worst.
Oh, I don't want to be a GoBot.
No, you don't.
I'm going to drop call. If I'm
you don't want to. You don't want to GG uninstall. Yeah, it's GoBot suck. Anyway, but my whole point is the next game they're making, so we finally have news of that, is an offshoot of Dota. The creator of Magic the Gathering, hired by Blizzard, goes in there, and they're making basically a Hearthstone competitor, some may say killer. I don't know. The idea that the card game is based on Dota is crazy to me. Over at Riot, they have stuff that's, I think, just the board game, but maybe there's more in the works that are offshoots of League. Actually, I don't know the answer to that for sure. But do you think we ever get... Could Heroes of the Storm ever be the basis for another offshoot? Do you know what I mean? Like, could we have... I don't know what that would be. Like... It's almost like Hearthstone could have been that. That could have been Hearthstone. Hearthstone could have been all the IPs in a big mixed bag of Blizzard cards, right?
Yeah.
But do we ever see something like Heroes of the Storm Brawl, and it's like Super Smash Brothers with Blizzard characters?
Yeah, yeah, like that. Like another genre, but Heroes is the backbone of it, is the brand of it. That could be interesting. I'm not saying it'll happen, but...
Oh, you mean like Heroes of the Storm Tekken or something like that?
Not well, Tekken, but, or whatever. Know. Whatever the genre is.
The Street Storm. And it's like Street Fighter, but it's Heroes of the Storm.
Well, I mean, what if it was like a turn-based strategy game that isn't a card game, but something else? Like
BlizzCon. Enemy Unknown.
Yeah, BlizzCon.
That's
like
not
that.
Bad. BlizzCon and BlizzCon. That actually kind of works.
Yeah, yeah. It's not bad. The problem is then you're just rolling the same characters. I mean, it may as well just be its own thing that's called something else that just uses all the Blizzard IPs.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
put their unique spin on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they've painted themselves in a corner or anything, but it is interesting to see. I'm anxious to see how that thing does. And if Hearthstone can maintain the crown, they should be able
because
to. John
Artifact?
Yeah, Artifact. John made a pretty good point about, you know, this is the reverse position that Blizzard found themselves in when Dota 2 hit, is they were, you know, they were late to the party, and Valve was also late, but not so late that they couldn't be the second choice. And in this case, Blizzard is well ahead of everyone else, and all the other pretenders have come and gone, or they may be hanging on, but they're not Hearthstone numbers. Could this one be it? And if it is, what's the precedent for, do you make more Dota themed games? Meaning, is that world expansive enough that you could, you know, keep growing that? I don't know.
I think if Blizzard gets its hooks into something, good luck prying it away. I think Heroes of the Storm is not that, because like Valve ran Team Fortress 2, right? That was Counter-Strike.
I still do.
I know people are playing Counter-Strike. They're playing Team Fortress 2, probably a small contingent. They're probably all playing Overwatch and liking it better.
Well, Counter-Strike, huge. There are lots and lots of people playing Counter-Strike.
It is, but maybe it's not quite as comparable because I don't think the game modes are quite the same.
Yeah, that's true. Like I'm guessing Team Fortress 2 overall is lower than it's ever been. Yeah. I'll bet CSGO is doing okay. The esports side of that's pretty strong. I bet that's doing fine. Yeah. I'll bet Overwatch is still sort of, like, team shooter-wise, Overwatch has probably got the ring right now.
Yeah. I mean, just if they get a firm grip on something, good luck ripping it out of them. They're still RTS masters. Like, people are making RTSs, but what RTS has the pedigree of StarCraft or the much-rumored new Warcraft that people keep asking for? Or maybe it's some new kind of craft. I don't know.
Well,
ask you guys, if they were to turn Heroes of the Storm into a brand and branch out into another type of genre, which type of game would you like to see it be?
Man.
Because I can go first. I want this in any form that I can get it.
I know what it's going to be. Go ahead.
I want a XCOM-style Blizzard game.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted it. StarCraft makes sense.
Yeah.
Overwatch makes sense because I think of XCOM, but like with Overwatch character powers and stuff like that, and that sounds rad.
Yeah. You could literally put your Overwatch character into Overwatch mode before the end of his turn.
Right.
Mm.
I think that every single time I hit Overwatch in those XCOM games.
Sure.
I gotta say that I'm just trying to think of its strengths, though. And like, XCOM was a brutal game, and Blizzard makes challenging games, but they don't make brutally punishing games.
Yeah.
I don't think Blizzard's a company where I want a brutally punishing game.
No.
I'll get some sort of way out or something like that. I mean, I'm sure they do it well. I don't know. Turn-based strategy.
My dreams, man.
I kind of agree. Yeah. Now, if they were,
it would be a good game. I just don't think it'd be XCOM. I guess
put it on mobile because they're big on mobile right now. They got secret teams working on multiple mobile projects. I know.
No, Scott.
I know.
You both have taken my wonderful idea. Bo just shot it down, and now you're going to put it on the one platform I hate.
Well, listen. Here's the thing. They're already there. Working on like three projects no one knows about in the mobile space, and one of them is rumored to be a major RTS-ish thing. We don't know what it is, but we got to go where they go. It's Blizzard, man. We got to see what they're doing over there, right?
I will find it very easy to not play a Blizzard mobile game, just like I find it very easy to not play any mobile game.
You're weird. I think you're a little bit weird. I think there are things. There are things to that format that I enjoy. Doesn't make me, I mean, I am in the blood PC and lately Switch guy, like in a big way. But I don't know. There's stuff there. There's unique experiences
It's an important platform.
It's a huge platform. It is the most important platform right now, whether we like it or not. We may hate that. Yeah. But
look, I will acknowledge that. I'm just saying I'm going to be old man yells at Cloud about it and be like, I don't like playing games on my mobile device. I love playing on 3DS. I'm sure if I had a Switch, I'd like the mobile mode of Switch.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like, hey, I'm going to take out my cell phone and kill my battery in 10 seconds playing this stupid game. No, I hate it. I cannot stand it.
Dude, Hearthstone's really good on an iPad Pro. Just saying.
I have played it on an iPad Pro. Hearthstone is like the one game when I was doing those dungeon runs, I did play a good chunk of that on mobile.
And I'm just saying, like, it's possible they will have such a good grip on that platform that whatever's next could be great. I don't know.
Your body has to do things, and you want to do a dungeon run in Hearthstone. Sometimes
I understand.
These two things run simultaneously.
I understand. Toilet time. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Back to this article from BlizzFat. Oh, sorry, Bo. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Let's move on.
Let's talk about BlizzFat.
We've milk-fatted that topic.
They are saying they're very happy with improvements to Midseason Brawl this year over last. So did they detail why that is? Like, what is it about the improvement?
The Midseason Brawl, like the actual event itself.
Oh, the actual event they thought went well. Okay.
Yeah, like, so we just had the Midseason Brawl. And remember last year we were kind of saying, like, there was no crowd. It's kind of... So this year there's a crowd. He talked a lot about NA and EU was a little imbalanced in terms of its compete level. And so it was better this year, just the way that they had organized it. And the production behind it was felt better. So overall, they're happy with the product. It's not so much that people wrote comment cards and that they know, but just that they looked at their own work and were, you know, proud of the improvements year.
They did say that viewership was a little lower than expected, but they believe that is due to PUBG and Fortnite stuff, which I have to think, and they also made reference to, all of esports are dealing with that. Everybody got moved a peg or more because of the popularity of those games. And right now, Fortnite in particular is destroying everybody in terms of viewership on Twitch, knocking, you know, PUBG to like fifth or sixth, which is nuts if you think about where they were at one point. To see League of Legends not in the top three for big swaths of time because of these two games, like, it's kind of crazy. And I guess they felt the bite of that as well. I mean, what are you going to do? They're hugely popular. It's a giant thing. When the hive mind moves to something big and new, this is such a new problem. Like, this wasn't a problem when, you know, Blizzard was making StarCraft 1 or working on Diablo 2. Like, this isn't a problem then. Now it's a problem. It's a problem for everybody. Yeah. And
I mean, we're at, like, what, 13 years of Warcraft, or World of Warcraft or something like that?
14
and
or
you
whatever,
think about how long people have stuck with that game and played that game. And there's this new trend in gaming, which is this flash in the pan. And I'm not saying Fortnite's going anywhere necessarily, but what I am saying is that early last year, all we were talking about was PUBG.
Yeah.
And by the end of the year, all we're talking about is Fortnite. Like, there's this new trend of jump on, burn it up real quick. It becomes the most popular thing in forever. And then on to the next thing that is this amazing flash in the pan thing. And I'm curious what that does to gaming overall.
Yeah. I agree.
I think it's a little longer than a flash in the pan because the game mode's been around for a while, right? Like, PUBG is not the first of its kind.
No.
Through several iterations.
Yeah.
Like, we're just talking about DayZ, basically.
Yeah.
It's just, I think probably Fortnite, I think they got really lucky. I think it's almost like we could title this, there's parallels to the, like, our Heroes of the Storm plight.
Yeah.
You know, where League and the other games are around, and Heroes launches with the hopes to be Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
They took the StarCraft engine and modded it for MOBA play, which is like Fortnite took whatever it was they were doing. And I tried the beta, and it's just shooting at zombies and tower defense, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how far, I don't know if they just flipped a switch on and made the mode, or if they were thinking about this for years, but like they pretty much came out of nowhere.
Well, the talk that I've heard is, and some of this was semi-insider, but not someone who actually works there, but they scrambled to make that mode because they saw the writing on the wall that this was going to be a hot new thing, and if we're going to salvage the 6 years we put into Fortnite and no one cares about tower defense and zombie defense anymore, this is a problem. It's kind of like making a MOBA or an MMO and finding out 5 years into a development that everything's gone free to play and everything you've built depends on a subscription. It's like that kind of.
And it's got to launch yesterday to take advantage.
Right. And it has to be free. Like, that was the big thing. It has to be free. And I think right time, right place. Also, that game's pretty polished. Like, it's not everyone's favorite style or something. It's a little cartoony and stylized, but it's really, really put together pretty well. And to have that also be free and have all the popular streamers playing it and having that building aspect. I mean, there's lots of reasons why.
But I mean, there's a lot of reasons why what they built would have taken a lot longer to adapt to that game mode. What I'm saying is, like, they're also lucky that, or maybe they're not lucky. It is Epic. They are first person, you know, they right. have their engine. They like, they're the people who know how that thing works the best.
Sure.
Have tons of resources, but they acted fast.
Yeah.
That means they had the right pieces in place
mm-hmm.
anyways. Like, if they're making Tekken, they can't do it, right? They're like everyone can work 24 hours a day. It's still not going to be PUBG.
Right.
You know, like,
100 Hihachis land on an island.
Well, in a way, oh, don't even tempt me. That's a great idea. That's why I always want, I want my Junkrat, 100 Junkrats fall into Overwatch and only one survives. It's so much fun sounding to me. But you know, it's like, you just grab the genre and catch it early. And there'll be other pretenders to the crown, and they may even overtake it. I don't know, but it's in the MOBA space. You know, the only thing Blizzard didn't do was they didn't pivot fast enough. But in some ways, they did. Like you said, they took the StarCraft II engine, they quickly retrofitted it, and they got that thing to market pretty damn fast once they made a decision on what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Video games are weird, and because everything is so tied to like viewership on Twitch now, and streaming services, and YouTube, and everything else. It's just, it sways everything. Like, everybody has to react to this new monster that is this wave of people who love this weird mustachioed sunglasses wearing psycho streamer they follow. And they're like, oh, what's he doing? Oh, he's playing Duck Game. And suddenly Duck Game sells through the roof and everyone plays Duck Game for the rest of their lives. Like, it's just a weird thing.
Psycho streamer. I like psycho streamer.
I can't think of a name of anyone. So, but you know what I mean.
You're talking about I want to call him Dr. Mustache, but it's
Dr. Disrespect.
No, yeah. I don't know. I've never even seen his stream. I'm amalgamating everybody into one big ball, which is like this cult of personality thing. They do it, their viewers do it. It's like, and that's fine. That's the business. That's where we're at. You know, I mean, hell, we do a show here and someone comes for my morning show, never played a video game in their life, and they're like, what's this Heroes of the Storm they're talking about? And they may play it. It's not that different than that. It's just a scale thing, right? Yeah. So if you've got 50,000 simultaneous viewers, you're going to sell a shit ton of Duck Game if he's playing it that night. It's just the way it is. And so game companies have to look at this and just go, oh my gosh, what are we doing? And then, like, this must be the weirdest wrinkle for them. Like, Morheim must be just wake up at night going, oh. And his wife's like, what's the matter, Mike? What's the matter? Twitch is going to eat us. They're going to eat us. You know? I don't know.
I love this roleplay. It was great.
There was a point where streamers played what was popular, and now we're at a point where streamers make what's popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
And games live and die on whether or not streamers adapt to them. And you've seen whole genres of games that I would argue, and you can argue against me, exist purely to try to convince streamers to play them.
There's still streamers playing Fortnite who would rather not play it. But
I think
there was an article I read that someone got like 100,000 subscribers once they posted three videos of Fortnite. Go do a Let's Play of Fortnite, Scott, and see like how many tens of thousands.
No, it's ridiculous how many people watch that stuff. But John, I think, is totally right. There are games made. I'm not saying Fortnite are the games. I think those are mainstream and can be playable for whatever. If you're a shooter fan, you're going to enjoy yourself. But if they milk a game where it's like, all right, what if it was a piece of toast that had a test?
That was exactly the game I was thinking of.
Yeah. What if the toast had a penis? And
not anymore.
Or whatever, right? Like, I got a game code from somebody called... hold on, I gotta share this with you. Somebody sent me a code. This is pretty funny. I wish I had a handy here. Okay, here it is. I do have it. All right, I got a game called, or did I already deny it? I may have told him I didn't want it.
What does that mean in Utah?
What? What? What does what mean? What did I miss? What?
You said I wish I had a handy.
Oh. No, I mean, I wish I had it handy. Had it handy. Yeah.
Okay. So I thought maybe it was just a Canadian thing. You guys didn't seem to react to it.
I think I lost it, but it was like a game about poop or something. It's like a, let's see. Oh, here it is. It's called Not Without My Poop. And then I got another one called, I got one called Hide and Seek Poop Hat. these games are being made so that somebody will go, huh, it's funny, I'm going to put it up and 50 million of my people are going to see it, and that's your quick flash in the pan sales. I'm totally agree with John. That's exactly what a lot of this stuff is. And I probably got, I don't know, 80 keys here that I'm never going to play that are all like this. It's stuff like, try to control a peanut as it falls out of the colon of Zeus. Meh. I made that part
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you're right.
Actually, now that I say it, I'd play a game about a peanut that goes through Zeus's colon.
Yeah, you kind of had me at Zeus's peanut.
I've sold you on it.
Yeah.
Back to this. They are focusing efforts to gain viewers from the player base that plays Heroes of the Storm but doesn't watch it. For example, the Heroes site and HGC site and merging, unspecific about this, by the way. They want to merge that stuff so that when you look at Malfurion's hero page, you see the top Malfurion players, their stats, map picks, and etc. Now, I'm going to say that is not only a great idea, but it was a goof in the first place to try to create the separation. I don't know why they ever did that. I think they thought they were catering to hardcores. I think that was a mistake. I think a smart, integrated character portal on the site and game information portal and stats and everything kind of all being together instead of saying, well, here's Heroes of the Storm and isn't Thrall cool, but over here's the sports part. Like, they should have just had a big, happy middle combined thing. It sounds like maybe that's what they're going to do.
No, yeah, the game is the sport, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I never understood that separation. It's weird to me. Like, why? Why do I actually think this is a mistake for Overwatch? They're just making so much money they don't care right now. But I don't understand why there's this need to go, here's our game and here's how you play it. Welcome, you know, mother with too much time during the day. Like, they're being way handholdy.
Yeah.
No offense, mothers who are home during the day. But then you do that and then you go right over to this. Bear, come on over and play the esports side, yo. Not good enough? Get good. Right? I may have made all
that was good. That up.
I told John before the show I'm feeling a little hyper and it's going to come out in weird ways and I apologize.
No, it's continue, please.
I approve of air guitar.
Great.
That's good.
So this is all happening. Get used to it. Also, Heroes has a big announcement at PAX. It could shape up to be a pretty important event. They're expecting to announce a hero March 19th, 2018.
So wait, I put that in as a side note, but I realized I ordered it. There will be an announcement for the next hero on March 19th. PAX East is actually April 5th.
Oh, I thought they were...
The event.
Oh, you're right.
Oopsies.
But no, it's okay, but I thought they were saving it till the event to all do right. The announcement.
Well, there might be another announcement because it says the introduction of one of the most unlikely heroes. Now, that could mean they've already announced it and they're introducing it further. So right. Next week we find out Deckard Cain's coming and then they go into detail about what that means.
Oh, man.
At the event.
The fact that you don't have Deckard Cain at BlizzCon going, stay a while, and in the middle of that crowd. Such a missed opportunity, dude.
Well, plus we know that a StarCraft hero is coming up. So I would expect March 19th, they announce a StarCraft hero, April 5th, Deckard
Cain. That's right. Yeah, I'd expect that. So who's... Because the way the dates are, I don't think we're going to hear about a second hero at PAX, although we might.
Yeah.
Well, you hear about it. It's not out yet. That lines up.
That's what I mean. Like, it gets announced on the 19th, and we get more details on the 5th.
Hmm. I think March 19th, they announce... The next hero, StarCraft mm-hmm. hero. Well, yeah. Let me pull up a calendar.
Which, by the way, is in four or five days is all, by the way.
March 19th, they announce it, probably on PTR that day or the 20th. Then the hero would come out the 27th.
Yeah.
Then fast forward to PAX. That is really soon, but that could just be we're announcing Deckard Cain. Then he's on the PTR around the 10th and then released on the 17th. That's three weeks.
Or, I mean, they could announce them there, but have a long wait for it just because it's PAX and they have to fit it at the event. I mean, that could happen.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They did that with Probius. So, the reason I think it might be Deckard then. So, StarCraft Hero next week. Deckard is just the way that it was like, be the first to learn how the lore of Heroes of the Storm will add to the larger Blizzard universe. And I had a thought that since Deckard's special ability is reading books.
Yeah.
That, like, he might actually have died in new spoiler alert, he dies in Diablo 3 to a butterfly.
Yeah.
And So he ends up in the Nexus, and he's the Nexus, the focal point to connect all the lore together. Like, he's the one that would get all the, like he did in actual Sanctuary, get all of the people in there and give them, identify their Nexus items and tell them story. And maybe he's also a playable hero, but lore-wise, he's no longer the Diablo thing. He's the Blizzard.
Yeah,
he's not... he really is. He is the Blizzard old man of storytelling.
So. He kind of is, yeah. I mean, there's a few of those in the Warcraft world, but I don't disagree. I mean, it's a chance to maybe push both things at the same time. It may not. I mean, he's still just going to be a character. It's not like going to be. There should be some sort of. Well, I don't know. Like, this sounds like the fulfillment of the promise they gave at BlizzCon, which is, yo, we're going to get way more into the world of Heroes. The lore of Heroes of the Storm, like it isn't just a collecting plate for all these other games. We're going to do more here, which may even go to my earlier point about what Dota's doing now by branching out and creating its own world and everything. So who knows? I'm very excited about that. But whether or not Deckard Cain takes a central role in that is a very interesting proposition.
Yeah, we should be clear. We don't know.
We have no idea. No.
But
oh my God, if we knew it was him, we said it, we'd be in so much trouble.
Oh, we'd be huge trouble.
But the phrasing of the introduction of one of the most unlikely heroes from Blizzard's history to join the Nexus yet, I think of who is the most unlikely to be in the battlefield going up against the likes of these characters, and it's 100% Deckard Cain.
Yeah,
but the unlikely part, because I can kind of read deep into that too, and I can mean unlikely like one you're not thinking of. Deckard is a likely hero. So is Rock and Roll Racing and Blackthorn. They're all likely heroes. I think unlikely hero could mean one of two things: that it's a humble dude like Egon or some like other crappy character you don't think about that they're going to make awesome.
Sure.
Or it's a brand new creation. Because they're coming up with lore, why not create a Serendipithar?
Well, we
says from Blizzard's history.
Well, we've talked about doing that though.
It does.
Damn it. Wow. Maybe it's just Metzen in like shorts and stuff.
It's literally Chris Metzen. That'd be so good.
Yeah, that'd be all right. Like his cool statue they made of him holding the baby Winston's hand. It'd be like that looking Metzen.
Yeah.
Totally ready for polygonal treatment.
He should be Heroes of the Storm's Shang Tsung, and he just transforms into all the characters he voices.
Yeah, I like this. Everywhere, cool. Everything we're saying here is going to happen. I feel it. By the way, it's really throwing me now to talk about Deckard Cain or Blade Runner, and that Deckard for that matter. I have a cat now named Deckard, and it's really screwing me up. Why have I done this? I have two animals in this house named after Blizzard characters. It's so stupid. So I can't even talk about Raynor in Heroes of the Storm or in StarCraft without thinking of my damn dog. And same now with Deckard the cat.
Deckard's a good name, but are you ever just disappointed that you don't go, "How are you today, Deckard?" And he goes, "I'm fine, thank you, thank you. I'll identify your items."
Yeah, I'll identify that shit I left on your pillow for free.
It's a magical shit of here.
Let me sleep in.
Agent Scott.
I ate beef, but yet still have fish breath, he'd say.
But that's a treasure I've left you in the litter box. From the bowels of Diablo.
Sorry, Bo, what you were saying?
I got upstaged by John.
It was really good.
I'm sorry.
It was really
it's
good.
Okay. You keep on. You do you. I was just gonna say, at least you could say to the cat to tell it to stay a while and listen
and listen
for petting.
Yeah. And by the way,
stay a while, Deckard. Listen. He rustled petting you.
I don't know if you guys can see this. My hands. Look how gross they are. That's from cat wrestling. Just like a little belly work, and they start grabbing my hands, and then before you know it. I'm all scarred up.
Into Nash Maggard.
Totally, dude. Like my character on our other show you guys should listen to on the weekends. We'll get to that in a minute if you'd like to hear about it. All right. So we'll see. We'll find out. That's coming up soon. I am excited to hear about what's happening on the 19th, whatever that is. So Phoenix, Deckard, Cain, whoever. Bring it on. Gwell's Heroes. You ever heard of that? I have. It's a Twitter account, mainly. Do they do a bunch of cool, like...
Well, it's a guy.
It's a guy.
He's been doing the surveys for years now. He surveys the hero. He's like, that's his thing. One of his things is to survey the hero player base monthly or quarterly. It seems like monthly. He did one for March.
Yeah.
And every now and then we talk about it on the show because he's doing... some people out there just do these great projects and ask for nothing in return.
Yeah, I love it. I wish that guy, I don't know, we should do something for him. But he's done this before. We referred to them on the show before. It's also very graphical. His results are put together in a big infographic that is reminiscent of even things I've seen Blizzard do before. When they have big events coming up or anniversaries to celebrate. And there's some interesting stuff in these statistics, and it's all sorts of things. So I recommend checking it out generally so you can kind of see what the whole schmear is. But here's a couple of the big points. Of the recent events, game modes, two most favorable reviewed were Escape from Braxis and Heroes Mecha Storm. Lunar Rocket Racing was the lowest of all of those.
I liked it for what it was. It wasn't supposed to be great. It was dumb fun.
Yeah, you could you could like any of it. It was just in the aggregate of the 3,000 or 4,000 respondents.
For me to play that, okay, I don't mind that. I played it once, but I never want to play that again.
Oh yeah, I only played it once too.
You never want to play that again, dude. It's bad. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't worth it. And it was worth it. It was a fun little offshoot. It was like, ah, okay, that's great. Back to the real game.
Yeah.
Because no one's playing that more than once. And if they do, they're just doing it for the loot box.
That's like, the trouble I have with the Brawl mode and like all the Blizzard games is sometimes I'm super into it, but most of the time I'm very meh on it.
Yeah. I did personally. Another, by the way, I did another dungeon run today in Heroes of the Storm during lunch. Or in
Dungeon runs are awesome.
Sorry, in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
They're awesome minus one really key thing. Okay. You don't get shit for doing it. You get nothing.
Yeah.
Other than time spent and whatever thrill you got out of playing it. And that's fine. But in the Blizzard pantheon of games or in video games in general, not having any kind of thing to win by getting far is silly. And there are even other card games out there that do that, that have a similar AI bladder. And when you fall out of it, either lose or win, or either way, you get something. You get some gold, you get some cards, you get something. And I can't stand that mode doesn't have you get something. I hope that new Monster Hunter thing and their new one.
It bums me out a little bit just because they make a big deal of, oh, you got the treasure. And you're like, sweet, I got the treasure. But it turns out the treasure isn't anything.
It's nothing.
There is no treasure.
There's no treasure. There's nothing. And again, it's a brilliant mode. It's so much fun. But I need something on the end of it. You just got to give me something, man. You're Blizzard, okay? That's what you do. You excel at this. Even if it's just, I don't know, anything at this point. I don't know what it would be. Give me portraits and heroes.
Yeah.
Like that's something. That's
a good call there.
Something.
You do get a card back if you beat them all.
That's true. You get a card back. There's so many card backs, though. And you never really see your own card back. It's just.
No, that's another weird thing. I almost wish the enemy card backs were what you could change, because you never really do see your own card back.
Yeah. Because when I see an enemy's card back, I'm like, oh, well, all right. You got that one. That's cool. And then I think, well, I wish I knew what mine looked like. I think there's a slowly spinning Nexus symbol on it, because I still use the Heroes one. But I don't know, because I can't see it. Once in a while, a card will pop up, and I'll go, oh, I kind of saw it for a second. It's dumb.
You know when you can see it is when you open packs. So just spend money, and then
that's
you get
true. That's a good point. Those are very
satisfying. Don't flip the cards. Just open them up and go,
ah. Well, actually, that's not true, because they don't show your card back in the pack openings. They show whatever expansion you're opening.
So, no, that's the pack, but after you open them and rip them open, they float. If you don't click them, they'll just float with the card backs there.
Yeah,
with the ones you picked.
Your card back.
Oh, I thought they showed the one for that expansion, the card back for that expansion.
No.
Oh, well, maybe I'm dumb then. I might be dumb.
No, I don't think so. You just probably don't play that much.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot more, though. Like I said, I pre-ordered that thing. Why, I don't know. I could have bought two skins and heroes for that money. Let's not talk about it. That's not true. I got those two skins for what, 34?
You get more to the two skins with the bundle.
Yeah, what did I get? I got whatever. It was $39. I paid for 70 packs. I paid $49 for this, and I have to wait until April to open it.
Oh, you bought the big
I did.
Big boy.
Well, because they're giving you 20 extra packs on top of what you would normally get for that price. So for $49, yeah. Instead of the usual 50 packs, you get 70 this time.
They got them with value, Bo.
Yeah, they got me with value.
Oh, this deal is worth a lot more because there's value. You get two packs for the price of one.
You know, the typical voice of a person who's looking for value is what Bo's doing right then, that voice. Uh-huh. I liked it. It was good. Anyway, so what's the point. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's that. Next item. Camera height and level 10/20 callouts voted best gameplay changes. Lowest reviewed was the removal of the third tower per fort or keep.
This one surprised me. Did people really like that third tower that much?
I don't know.
I think people don't like getting dove on.
Oh.
So I think it solved. There was an issue with it not having enough space to escape that they talked about. That's why they removed it. When you're getting dove on, it's awkward. There's this awkward choke point that the tower creates for you to get through and do stuff. So like it was done to create new space. They increased the damage to the actual fort or keep to compensate.
Yeah.
For this change, the issue with towers and keeps is it's really easy to not feel safe at all under them. And I don't think it's a tune up the damage issue. I think it's like, put a couple more turrets on there. Let everyone feel the pain if they decide to dive you without a minion wave. Yeah. Because like the forts go down so quick, especially with specialists in this game.
Yeah.
We can afford to slow the games down a little bit. Like all my games end below 20 minutes.
What do they do now? They can't just, they put them back in, then they take a ton of heat for doing that. Like, what do you think? What do you do now?
I if it was just me and I wanted it my way, I just put extra turrets on the forts and keeps and make them shoot simultaneously.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Extra turrets. I love that. Or I got a good idea. You got your healing things just sitting there. What should happen is if you get in range, a little thing pops out of it with like a little double barrel on it, and it becomes like the another turret. You can't just take down the health things. You got to the healing pools. You got to like get shot by them.
Oh yeah, you can get in it. Like you know in Gears of War when you get the gun.
Yeah. That's
like, there's one of those. So you're just like, you're gonna dive me? Oh yeah. You just shoot like crazy.
Well,
that's what you need.
I know where I'm marking this.
Whatever they call those things, I don't know. I just know it by the sounds it makes.
Well,
a turret.
It was good. I liked it. Yeah. Let's see. What else? Community surveyed is overwhelmingly in favor of adding third ban to drafts and changing the role system. But let's talk about that drafts thing first. Two bans currently. Third ban. Do we have another example of this happening in a MOBA? Does someone else do third bans?
Yeah, there's been three bans in League for as long as I played it.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's not since the early stages, but three bans I think is fairly common.
Doesn't Dota have like 80 bans?
Yeah. I don't understand how Dota works really, so I don't talk about it, but yeah.
Well, okay, but let's take the League example. Is it, what's the benefit? Just that you can still ban out trouble characters or whatever?
League has five bans now.
Really?
Yeah.
Five. How long does it take in draft? How long's draft mode?
I don't know.
As long as a game of Heroes. Which is short compared to how long a game of League is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. I think that this is a thing that will get added, but it comes with having more characters. Like, that's why you do it. So
I think the reason people are starting to flock to it is we're getting to the point where we feel like there are some characters that drastically change the way you have to play against them. Kind of like, and this is a weird example, but like the thing we used to complain about Nova. There's a counter to Nova, but people would just rather not play against her. There's a couple of heroes where you just would rather not deal with them. And so when you figure that bans are going to go to the characters that are considered OP at the moment, and then you have to also save bans for characters that might fall into a cheese strat, and then you save bans for a character that is like Genji, who's just going to be able to annoy the crap out of you. People now are having to make the concession of letting something through they don't actually want to let through.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where the pressure for third ban comes in.
I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah. On a higher scale, the banning system works for competitive, like your tart, because you, like, if you're a professional player, you don't play all the heroes, you don't bring the entire hero pool to your competitive play.
No.
You practice with your group, and you have a set amount. Some people have small pools as three, or maybe even less, but they have like three or four, and some have higher, you know, 10 or 12 that they can play. For strategy purposes, if you're trying to target a weak link on their team, you might focus on banning out tanks if their tank player plays three tanks and you know you can get them on, you can pick one and you can get them on a bad tank. Like there's a consideration of the way strategy works for higher level competitive play. it's kind of nonsense for cat. Like, if, even if I go into Hero League, like, I like the ban system because if my Ev release is broken, we have a way to get rid of her. That's what the ban is for, more casual competitive play, for is just annoying stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, because I'm just like, I don't mind the idea of a third ban, but now that League has five bans, so if you have 250 heroes and Heroes of the Storm,
yeah,
are we doing 20 bans? Like, like at what point do you just be like, well, just play whatever? Like, you know, so.
Well, how many characters does League have right now?
I don't know. They've got to have a good clip, though.
It's got to be.
They're over 100 for sure.
Yeah. Are they? I mean, I don't know where Heroes is in terms of total characters compared to the other two. I assume there were more in League, given how many years it's been around. So
Heroes has a way higher release rate than they do, because I think League is like 4 a year.
Yeah.
So they're at 134 champions.
And we're in.
We've caught up quite a bit in 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal, right? Is to try to do that. So I think we see additional ban maybe as the pool gets bigger, but also I'll bet Blizzard's not in that big a hurry to try to figure out how to make the game seem longer to players who come here for the more streamlined experience, you know?
It's true. And that is the part that to me is the hardest to watch during HGC is the ban. Like, the whole draft phase gets a bit long in the tooth.
Yeah. So imagine that with five. Like,
when I watch the VODs, I pretty much skip the bans most of the time.
Yeah.
In fact, I would argue people like the banning too much. I think there's an audience for it, but I'd argue that in a live broadcast, if they could give me like the sped up version, like a commercial break. Oh, okay, get back. Here's how the ban goes. And it's ching, 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 ching. And you just see the replay of it real quick. Because it's old now. And it's not just Heroes. It's like League and everything. Hearing casters try to fill time for 40 minutes while, you know, it was like, I don't know. Are they going to pick Rhaegar? Or are they going to pick Tassadar? And it's like, it's interesting the first while. And then it's
old. It's like, oh, they picked. I can't believe they picked the freaking Murky. And that's old after about the first time.
Yeah. Well, and most tournaments and most MOBA games, it's not just Heroes. There's some interesting picks, but for the most part, it's the same 5% of Heroes getting picked too. It's like, what are they going to pick? Yeah. I don't know. Same thing they picked last game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point. I don't think they're in any rush to have more than two, is what I'm getting at. They're not going to hurry with that if they do it at all.
Did I cut out there?
No. No. We heard everything you said.
Oh, good.
Except the part where I can't think of anything good to make up. let's see what else the community is also. Oh no, I already said that. Rainer and Chen are the most requested for a rework. So Two Button Terry and Drunk Man. So they need work, I guess. I know you're still a big fan of Chen, but it was sad to see him so voted down on there. But
I had a really, really great Chen experience last week. I was playing with TBK and another player.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just like, I'm gonna take Chen.
Just kidding, Ryan. I'm joking, buddy. You're great. Go ahead. Sorry, what? Oh, happy, by the way, you had a baby. Ryan had a little baby. Congratulations.
Happy baby to TBK.
Congratulations, dude. Anyway. Sorry. Oh, that's good. So you still like the Chen. I like him.
Chen is great. I love Chen.
Nothing wrong with Chen. The most wanted heroes. These two don't shock me too much, although I still think Deckard Cain should be in this, but Imperius and Deathwing. Are the two big ones. I'm totally on board with Imperius. Deathwing, I don't know. Sure. I don't
get the drive for Deathwing. Yeah. He's going to feel grossly underpowered and tiny. Like, that's how you're going to feel. There's no way you make the player base happy with Deathwing.
No.
Well, he's got his man mode, though, right?
His Yeah,
but nobody's going to be happy with man mode.
No one's going to like
man Alex. Mode. Yeah, everyone's fine with Alex Straza and woman mode.
They are, because she's buxom woman mode, but not really. Right. I think the real reason they're okay with it is because you don't really. Her appearances throughout the war, the lore of Warcraft, the war lore of Craft. Is she often shows up in human form a lot. Like, that's kind of her interface. And so I feel like she translated pretty well. Deathwing, I don't even remember what he looks like when he's not in that form. Plus, he was so big when he was banging around underground, knocking all those towers out in the barrens around, that he had like 50 orcs working on him. Just little orc men making things on him. There's no way he's going to be that big. So whatever they do, they got to diminish that guy. I don't know.
I think they could make him into like this bruiser. Like I'd picture him as a warrior almost, not an assassin. Like he'd be a tough.
Yeah.
He'd have maybe the armor on. I think they could pull it off.
You have faith in that. I
would be curious how they do it that would actually make people happy. I guess that
Alex Strassa makes people happy and her stuff is very not epic. And I don't mean that in an insulting way. Just, you know, it's she shoots a little jet of fire and then she turns into dragon and it's crazy town.
The
so.
Expectation of Deathwing is different than the expectation of Alex Strassa.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Because when he
All I know is I barely saw Deathwing in Cataclysm.
Well, I fought Deathwing down to the dead and got a cool
bow. Yeah, there was that part.
Yeah.
I ran across his back as a tiny little man and I fought pustules.
Yeah, you pulled scabs off of him and stuff, which was great.
We all killed him by beating his chin to death.
Yeah, and they did that really cool Brody moment that was basically ripped right out of that movie. What's the movie? Can't think straight. What's the movie? The movie.
Brody.
Brody. Oh, so Brody. Familiar. I am an FBI agent. What am I? What movie am I thinking? Point Break. It was like a Point Break cutscene in the game they had, which was really cool. And then that. It's one of my favorite cinematics because it's just badass. And so my image of him is just that big metal chin all bolted on and those wingspan and him flying through, I don't know, wherever the hell he threw, where he flew past those dams that broke apart for the dwarven area stuff. And like, he is a big mass of destruction. In this game, he would be a portly little dragon man. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm on the Imperius train though, 100% Imperius all the way there. So bring Imperius to our life. And if you want to go find that image, it's super easy. It's out there. Just, you know, look around the blogs and stuff and you'll find it. And it's great. It's cool to see all that
stuff.
Also,
one last thing to point out about this, another stat that he puts on there is how many answers he got compared to his previous, and it went up. So
that's fantastic.
A fun little fact. He's getting more responses than the previous. And I think that's an interesting item of note as well.
He should, I don't know, reach out and let people like us, I don't know. I feel like I didn't know about this until it was done, or I would have, this is something we could have retweeted the hell out of. I think it should get more exposure. It's super cool. And the bigger your sample rate, the more accurate, or at least the
more confidence you have in these numbers. You know, what the temperature of everyone's feeling.
Sure. 4,000 is a pretty good number, but I'd love if that was like, you know, 50,000 or something.
Wait, anyway, was it 4,000?
I thought it was one of you guys just said that. Didn't I hear that?
I said it, but now I'm like, I don't want to say it wrong.
I don't know what the total votes were.
Bo said it, but he's questioning this.
We're sticklers for accuracy here.
Actually, it was 5,133.
All right. It's not bad.
That's good. That's a healthy amount of people checking Reddit while they're at work to find out all the good stuff about Heroes.
That's great. Yeah. Oh, is that where it happened? Is Reddit?
When I'm at work, I'm trying.
That's what I do at work too.
Oh, all right.
If all I could do is play Heroes, I'd never be on Reddit. I'd have a hard time doing the show.
Yeah, there would be no Reddit. What's going on. Reddit is its own video game. All right, Blizz Travis, let us know what player rank distribution targets are currently. Says they are close to these parameters. So, here's a breakdown by percentage of players: Bronze 7%, Silver 35%, big chunk there. Another 35 at gold. Hi, John. You and I are in there.
Hello.
Platinum, 15%. Hi, Bo. That's pretty good, dude. Top 15? Well, not top 15.
It should be top 7%, but...
Oh, man. This is not good enough for him.
The Platinum 1 to Diamond 5 boss is a hard boss to fight.
It is a... Yeah, it's a rough one. 15% in Platinum. The player base percentage in Diamond, 7%. Master 1. So I don't know if Kyle's listening, but well done, Kyle. Well, he's not a master, is he? Diamond? I don't remember.
Oh, he hit master a couple times. I think he's currently master this season.
Yeah. So well done.
I just finished. Yeah.
Top 1%. He's like in the billionaires club, is what that's like. Well done.
He controls all the heroes' money.
Yeah. Yep. I was gonna say something I won't get like.
Is that how that works?
I don't know. The thing I was going to say would have got emails. I'm not going to say it. Should note these are the targets. Actual numbers may vary or vary a bit as the season goes on. For example, hardcore players tend to place earlier than more casual players, but roughly fall in line with that over time. So I was wondering about that. Because, like, even with our team league stuff, we tend to give it a couple of weeks, let things calm down during the first part of a season. And I'm sure a lot of people do that. And then some of the super hardcore, try harder, you know, get there faster folks are there by day one. So there you go. All right.
Yeah, so I just thought that was interesting because all you ever hear about is how the matchmaking system's kind of broken and stuff. But this, if they're close to hitting their target here, this seems like a good distribution.
Yeah, it's really good.
Like, it seems I would look at that if this was my responsibility and say, like, this feels right.
Yeah, exactly.
That way the exceptionals are getting highlighted. You don't feel exceptional if you're diamond and 80% of the people are in there. So this kind of works, I think.
Yep. All right, now we're going to move on to something where, let's see, do I have a sound for this? Hold on. I did thought I had one. Okay, I'm going to play two clips. This is because I used to have one that said, I really, really like Lily from Patrick Beja, but I don't have it here. So instead, I'm going to play three clips. This one.
Massive Wiener.
I'm going to play Really, Really.
Really, Really.
And then this.
I'm not saying your literal penis.
Okay. Literal penis.
It's good. It's a good introduction point for this
literal penis. Doesn't even mean figurative penis?
I don't want to know what that even is. What is a figurative penis? Is that just somebody who's a jerk or something?
I have an answer, but I'm not going to get into it. All right,
don't do it. Sorry, so let's do it. Core concepts. That's right, everybody. Going to talk about a hero that I like a lot. Today's my turn, or I'm going to take a turn. I sort of volunteered for this today. Now, keep in mind, as I talk about everyone's favorite tiny panda lady girl, speaking of Chen, her niece or his niece, just keep in mind, this is the way I play her. I'm not, here to tell you that you're doing it wrong or doing it right or that I have all the answers. Certainly I don't. OK, I'm one of the I'm in gold. I don't venture out into the space where the top 15% of Beau Schwartz people play. OK. So I'm just going to tell you kind of how I play her and why I think she's rad. Feel free to, send in your emails and tell me why I'm wrong. Okay, it's Lily we're talking about. It's taking me forever to bring her up. There she is. Okay. So she's had changes and stuff over time, blah, blah, blah. But she's always seemed like a pretty good pick in lots of arenas. Quick play, you see her a lot. You see her a lot in draft kind of modes, and you see her sometimes on stage in professional games. Some people think that she's an easy mode character where you just tap Q and hit it as often as you can to heal people and you're just spamming it. And to some degree, I suppose you could argue that that's a little true with her. I mean, her ability doesn't require you, or healing ability doesn't require you to target anyone. It just goes to the person with the least amount of health. So if you haven't played her before, that's how it works. If you hit Q, her Q is called, Healing Brew. And has a cooldown of 4 seconds to start with. You can talent that down in other ways later. But if John and Beau and I are all in the same space, and Beau is even one hit point lower than John, my Healing Brew will automatically go to Beau and not John. If John gets hit during the cooldown and now becomes the guy who has the lowest health, the next one will go to him and so on. And if I'm the lowest health, I will self-heal rather than heal them, which some might say that's a pain in the butt. I'd rather choose to heal others than yourself, but it works out. It's fine. She needs sustainability as well. Anyway, that's her cue. That's her main job. Keep everybody alive. Her second is Cloud Serpent. And I really like Cloud Serpent now as opposed to what it used to be. It used to be this way of kind of putting a temporary turret on either you or someone around you. So it's like, all right, here comes John. He's playing Diablo. He's going in for some divey business. I'm going to put the Cloud Serpent on him, and it's going to fire off this damage that he wouldn't otherwise have. It's going to cost me 35 mana. It's going to take 10 seconds to cool down, and that thing's going to deal 26 damage the entire time. Now, there were ways in the old builds to make it so that thing could heal you while you had it on you. Now that's baked in. So when you put one of those on somebody, it also heals your ally for 20. And again, the entirety of 8 seconds is how long it lasts there. And it can be stacked with your regular healing too. So if I've got that on John and it's firing away, it's doing damage, it's healing him for at least 20, and I'm still chucking healing at him. So it's kind of like double healing in a weird way. But I love Cloud Serpent as it is constituted now. The way it used to feel was like, well, if you don't feel like healing, I guess you can kind of go DPS. Meh. And that's fine. You know, that's your playstyle. Great. But now it actually has kind of this dual use, and I really like that. Then there's Blinding Wind. This is your E. 30 mana, 12-second cooldown. You throw a cloud of Blinding Wind at the two nearest enemies. It prioritizes heroes. It will hit minions if they're not around. This deals 133 damage. Affected targets miss all basic attacks for the next 2 seconds, which is a proper blind in the game. That's how that mechanic works. And this thing is awesome because there are plenty auto-attack characters like, oh gosh, I don't know. Let's say Vala and Illidan comes flying into your fight. Mm-hmm. Throw this out on them. Oh, man. They can't do shit for a second. They just can't do anything. And that's for 2 seconds. That's how long that takes. So those are your basic abilities. Your heroics are, for me, the no-brainer is always Jug of a Thousand
Jug
Cups.
Jug of Cups.
Jug of Cups. Jug of a Thousand Cups is what it's called. It's basically a big AoE heal thing that shoots out a bunch of healing to everybody and, again, prioritizes heroes with the lowest healing or the lowest health. Restores a total of 1,698 health. That's 4% per level, or plus 4% per level, and heals over 6 seconds of time. There's ways to expand that and enhance that with stuff later. I always pick that because it's clutch, and it also has a much lower cooldown than it used to. It's 70 seconds now. And you can talent it lower, and it feels great to be able to just pop that when people need it. Like, really great. I feel like it saves lives, is what I'm trying to say. Okay.
It's like that other Malfurion ult, if it worked.
If it worked. It's exactly the same as that one, if it worked. And well, I shouldn't say it doesn't work. It's just shit. It's shit healing. Like, this little panda does great healing with her R, and in comes Valfrey. Let me, I'm the tree prophet. And it sucks. That's the sound it makes. He farts it out. Then there's Water Dragon. That's your other choice at 10. 50 mana, cooldown 45 seconds. Summon a Water Dragon that, after a delay, hits the nearest enemy. That is to say, hero and all enemies near them, dealing 318 damage. You get 4% increase on that per level. Damage and slowing their movement speed by 70% for 4 seconds. It's great with combos, great with coordination. I don't usually pick it because, again, I'm trying to do maximum healing. So there's that. That's the basic stuff. As far as how I, if people are interested in how I'm talenting her, here's what I do. Again, results may vary. Other people do different things. I am not the expert on Lili. But here's what I do, and I have good success with it. I do Wind Serpent at number one. Most people pick either Free Drinks or Eager Adventurer. Free Drinks doing this thing with people with lower than 50% health. You get reduced cooldown on the healing. You might say, well, Scott, now you're going against what you said about her healing. You're not focusing on healing. Well, not entirely, because Wind Serpent having a lower cooldown means more of a healing presence on heroes, and I'm helping with damage. So that's just always the one I go with is Wind Serpent. My next one I pick is Hindering Winds. The slow amount increased to 30%. So you're every time you cast that thing, people get way slowed down. It's great. I like that a lot. Let's see. Next I do, where is it? Can't find it there. Oh, the good stuff. Healing Brew heals for an additional amount over 3 seconds while Fast Feet is active. This is your trait. Oh, I forgot to mention her trait. Her trait is Fast Feet. Upon taking damage, your basic ability cooldowns refresh 50% faster and you gain 10% movement speed for 1 second. I forgot to mention that. So that's what I usually choose there. Let's jump to, then I take Jug of a Thousand Cups. Seems like most other people do too, but whatever. Some of you are weird and take the other one. Gale Force is my next one at 13. This increases the duration of Blinding Wind from 2 to 3 seconds. Lili's basic attacks against blinded heroes deal 75% more damage. So you can get in there and auto-attack and do some real, cause some real problems for people. It's 16. 16 being a big level for a lot of people and a lot of characters. I usually do, where is it? There it is. I do 2-for-1. Increases the number of allies healed by Healing Brew up to 2, but increases the cooldown by 1.5 seconds. You'd think that would suck, but it really, you can't hardly even notice it. It's a second and a half. It's all right. It's fine. You give that up. It's okay. It's better for the additional healing. And then finally, my upgrade to my ult at 20, jug of 1,000 cups. That goes, or let's see.
It's a jug of a million cups.
Sorry, jug of a million cups. It's a lot of cups. That's a lot of penises being guarded in football. They call them cups, right? A little hard little.
Yeah.
Isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
It just took me a minute to get to where the penis factored in.
Well, it always does.
It was a journey for John. I saw it all over his face. But...
Do they ever do cup checks when you guys were in like high school and stuff?
I have never worn a cup.
I never wore a cup.
All right. I had to in junior high for gym and stuff, and they would come and check. No, it was a jock check, not a cup.
You were a footballer, right?
No.
Or football player.
No.
No?
No.
No?
I was not athletic.
Why do I think you played football? I guess you just like football.
I played a little basketball, and I like football, but I don't.
Like you have the size. Guys, Scott's a large man.
I have a height for it.
I would not pick a fight with Scott. I'll put it that way.
You would beat me so bad.
Personality-wise, not knowing you. If I didn't know you.
If you didn't know me, you would kick my A. Now, I may put off an appearance when people see me.
Let's say I pushed a six-year-old into a puddle and you saw me.
All right.
You're like, oh. I would run very fast from Scott.
But what you wouldn't know is if you stopped and faced me, you'd beat me. That's what I'm saying. I'm not that tough.
I wouldn't know that. That's what I'm saying. But that's also what I'm saying. It's just,
All appearance is what's going on. Right. Which actually is important. I just said appearance because I'm going to get to that in a second with Lily, and I have a complaint about the character. But jug of a million cups, two targets at a time, basically, is what you get out of that. Otherwise, it behaves the same. Save more lives. Okay. My biggest beef.
I don't think
beef...
their math checks out.
Well, yeah, it's not exact. It's not really a one-to-one on the jugs or the cup. How many cups are in there?
I'm just saying it went from 1,000 cups. Now it hits two targets instead of one, and somehow it's a million cups. There's a lot of lost value on some of these cups.
They're really stretching it there. I agree.
That's true. They lost a lot of value.
I completely agree. But here's my big complaint with her. And it's purely cosmetic. I don't like her model. I think it's bad. I think that it's just from an artistic standpoint. I like her personality. Her voice pack is amazing. I like how scrappy she is. I like everything about her. Her skins are good, all that stuff. Her face is just 1.0. It's beta. Get it.
She kind of looks like a squirrel painted to look like a panda.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
Go roll a monk and go kind of look at her in World of Warcraft and come back. She'll look like the most beautiful panda you've ever seen.
What?
I think the pandas in WoW are okay, aren't they?
Her model in WoW is not.
Her model in WoW is not good at all.
Oh, okay.
Oh, her.
Oh, I'm saying go to WoW. Go to play. Log into WoW. Play it. Roll a monk. Go to the monk place, and have a look at her model.
No, you're right. Go,
oh my God. And it'll make Hero's model look like the most beautiful panda.
Yes.
Yeah. I got you. I'm looking at her right now, and you're right. It's bad. It's very, very bad. I think
you're right. It could use an update. I'm not saying you're wrong for wanting it because I agree with you, actually.
But I really like her as a character. I love her relationship with her uncle. I love what she represents. Like, Lily's great, dude. She's great. That comic they put out was awesome. Those books were really good. I like the time I spent with her in World of Warcraft, and I really like playing her here. So don't let anybody tell you that she's a pink little girly girl. Who's too much of a noob type character where all you got to do is hit Q and go home. I think she's way, way more than that. And I know of at least one master player who's told me that that's true. His name is Kyle Ferguson.
That's a way to throw him under the bus in case people want to argue.
Well, I like to drop names so that people can trip over those names.
Okay. Yeah. So they get emails, not you.
Yeah, not me. I don't want them.
Okay.
That's your quick and dirty on Lily. She's great. I really, really like her. And just give her an update. Like, her and Arthas and a couple others need some art, but other than that, she's cool. I like her a lot. Although her little rings, or the things that she'll put on her staff, the accoutrement that she'll have for different skins, they defy gravity. They don't behave with true physics. They would fall off.
Or they'd at least go rest by her hand.
Yes, they'd fall down. The little rings would go up down to her wrist, and it would piss her off. But none of that happens because we live in video games now. It's fine.
But by the way, just before we move on from Lili, nothing to do with Heroes of the Storm, everything to do with Lili. Apparently, there's a little subset of the internet that ships Anduin and Lili.
What?
As Lili grows up and Anduin gets older. Like
this whole shipping thing. Hold on. Warcraft.
I just typed
you,
it.
What are you going to look up exactly right
Anduin
now?
Anduin and Lili. And well, just like, there isn't a ton. It's a small set, but I'm seeing some pictures. Maybe it's even just one person. Actually, I think it's just one person.
Lili and Anduin.
There's several.
You
several
know what?
Drawings
I'm going to say this. Oh, besides the species ramifications and questions it might bring up, I think they would make a cute personality couple.
I think so.
Lili grows up. Anduin's in his 30s or 40s, and
no, I've perfect. I regret everything I've just done.
In fact, I think I'm joining Lidwin or Andly.
Andly.
Because they get to combine their names. Andly.
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 All right. If you go to the if you look at your stream, people at home are already seeing this. There's drawings.
Oh my gosh.
This is one drawing. It's just them frolicking and making out on the grass. It's nothing sexual. I mean, not necessarily, but
you know, it's implying that they're in a relationship.
It's
not like it's a photo of Ganymede with his dog. I mean, it's great. It's that image is forever scarred in my brain.
But
oh my
why
God.
Anduin? Why him?
I don't know.
I think they're just close in age, and like Anduin is like.
When did they start calling creepy fan fiction? When did they start calling it shipping?
It's been a year or two.
Fan fiction is not shipping. Shipping is wanting two characters to get together.
Okay, Anduin.
I think it started with Overwatch. When I first heard about it, when it was like Reaper and McCray. What's his name? McCoy.
McCree.
There you go. You know, Reaper and McCoy.
You know, the old adventures of Raper and McCoy. They were amazing. They were incredible, those two together.
I first heard of shipping as a thing because of Overwatch.
It was before Overwatch, but
I'm sure it was, but I heard of it as from with Overwatch.
Overwatch is sustained by shippers.
That's true.
What is this that you have put up now, Scott? This isn't even related to anything.
Well, it's Anduin and some devil horn lady. I don't even know who that's supposed to be. So I think he's cheating on...
Oh, no, Anduin, don't cheat on Lili.
Yeah, don't cheat. She's great. She's the one. Wow, I feel
Lili
like I've...
was your bae.
I feel like I've really gone down a path.
I don't know if Alarak of the Storm listens to this, but I really want him or her. I'm not sure if it's him or her to draw this shipping, okay. Lili and Anduin. By the way, now that we have new man mode Anduin with his sweet armor, put that in Heroes. That's fine. We're good now.
Oh, yeah. No.
No longer anti-heroes.
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree with that. Looking at it
again. No longer anti-Anduin.
Here's Anduin from, I think,
all right, I'm going to argue you've put a lot of disturbing things up, and this actual picture of Anduin is probably the most disturbing so far.
I know. He's never looked... I mean, he looks really cool in the cinematic this time around, folks, but before that, especially like during Pandaria time, ironically, since this is what we're talking about, just dumb. Looked terrible. Oh, I got a worse one for you. You ready? This is the worst.
This is really good for an audio podcast.
Yeah, this is awesome. I don't know what's happening here. Something's going on with his eyes. There's something going on there. Look at this. Look at this thing. You guys got that yet? Do you see this?
Not yet.
It's really weird.
What happened?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Now there's glowing behind his eyes.
Let's make him look like Daniel Craig. Make his eyes glow blue.
I don't know. It's really weird. Anyway, that was a fun path we went down. I can tell you that much. Time for us to cleanse our palate and read an email. Hey, everybody, look, it's time for emails. This is where we read your emails. They come to us at core@heroesforyou.com. And we got one from Brent, who says this. Hello, my name is Brent. Hi. I have been listening to your show since the beginning. I went to Nerdtacular and was the weirdo in the pink toque. You know what those are, Bo. That's up there with your weird hats and stuff.
And he's wearing a toque, eh?
Yeah, probably a little fry gravy on him from eating too much. What's that called? Poutine.
Kind of strange he's wearing a pink one, eh, bud?
Hey. Anyway. Hey,
bud. Don't call me buddy, guy.
Anyway, I also am currently the support player for Barry Scary, the University of Alberta Heroes of the Dorm team. That's cool.
That's awesome.
It was just confirmed that we made the round of 64 over the weekend, so you should be able to catch our games on stream in a couple of weeks. Playing in Heroes of the Dorm has been an awesome experience and has improved my slightly scrub-like Heroes play immensely. If you wanted, I would be happy to go on your show and perhaps in a week or so before the round of 64 to talk about my experience playing in the Heroes of the Dorm. It was kind of spur-of-the-moment decision to join the team, and it's been really fun. I would encourage any college student listening to consider joining next year. Don't worry if you're not amazing number one Grandmaster player. I am currently a Silver League player, but with practice, I made myself into a fairly competent and important part of my team. Thanks for the show and the laughs, Brent. Brent, we'd love to have you on, actually. I'd love to talk to a dorm player, see what's up with that. So count it as an accepting of your idea, and we'll set a date and work around what you want to do, because I think that'd be a cool aspect of the hero stuff to talk about that we don't get that much access to. And you don't have to, you know, come in here and tell us anything you're not supposed to. I'm sure there's NDAs, and I actually don't know what they do with the players, but if you're worried about that, we're not going to drill you on anything weird. But I would love to know, I don't know, the perspective of somebody who played in Heroes of the Dorm.
I'm just trying to look up their team right now. First of all, that's super awesome. So now I'm cheering for this team. I now have a reason to watch Heroes of the Dorm, so that's cool.
Yeah, like I take that. That
no, like, I just feel like they're all just a bunch of teams, and I'm like, whatever.
Right. It's hard to find. Now we have a reason to root for a team, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Exactly.
I get it. Yeah. That's what you want with esports. Barry Scary is the name. Barry Scary, for those at home listening. You want to look that up and check them out. Good job, Brent. And we'll be talking. I'll send you an email and we'll hook up. In the platonic sense of the word. All right. Hey, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, let's do that.
core@heroesforyou.com is the email address. Once again, core@heroesforyou.com. Use it frequently. You're sitting there saying to yourselves, man, I have enjoyed this time with these guys so much tonight. How can I possibly give back for the incredible amount of entertainment I've consumed? Well, I have an answer for you. It's real simple. Head on over to patreon.com/coreshow. That's right, patreon.com/coreshow. And you can join up and support the show. And you can get rad benefits, some of which could be your own Dear Martha letters in the mail. Ooh, we need to do one.
Ooh, I got to write a new one.
You do. And we got to do more on the show itself so people know what the hell we're talking about if they're new.
Yeah, what's Dear Martha? Is that a segment you guys used to do?
Yeah. Some other really cool stuff can be yours if you'll but only link right on over to patreon.com/coreshow. You can find that and other important links at heroesforyou.com. That's our website. And you can find us in the game sometimes. Just join the Frog Pants group. Always somebody in there playing. /joinFrogPants is the way to do that. Follow us on Twitter. You can find Bo at Bo Schwartz. That's spelled S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. I say that because someone asked me. So I said,
you could also say Schwarz.
Schwarz. Yeah, it's very very hard. Hungarian. Do you like goulash? Is that
it's
a thing?
German. It's Schwarz is the German word for black.
Oh, well, then how? So wait a minute.
My first name is French for handsome, and my second name is German for black.
Handsome Black. That's a cool name for.
That's my name in English. Handsome Black.
It's like a Harry Potter name.
Yeah, I love that. Handsome Black. One of the black people.
Careful now.
Well done, Scott.
One of the members of the family known as Black in the books, the Harry Potter books.
We walked alongside a minefield and you were real quick to jump right on the first one.
You heard like a little click, click. That was me stepping on one. Anyway, all right, Handsome Black. I'm going to call you that from now on. That is a great name. What was I saying? I don't even know. Oh, I was gonna say your Twitter name.
Find me on the Twitter.
That's right,
Bo Schwartz.
Bo Schwartz. Find him there. Check him out. He's great. Says funny things, and he has other shows and cool stuff. So check that out. I'm at Scott Johnson. John_Jagger can also be found on Twitter at the name I just gave you, and the show, of course, at Core Heroes. That's Core Heroes on Twitter. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, chat room, for being here live. We'll play some games after this, so hang around if you must, if you want, if you'd like. Not if you must. That didn't sound right. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
F it. I'm just going to say it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.